Members indicate your presence by voting. Madam Clerk.
26 members present.
We do have a quorum to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please let the record reflect that Representatives Foster and Gruenberg have previously been excused from a call, and I move and ask unanimous consent that the excused absence of Representative Lynn be extended until morning playing time Monday, February 11th.
If you're here, would you please push the button? That objection, those members will be shown as excused. Today we're blessed with the opportunity to have two prayers. First, I'd like to introduce an elder from the Napaskiak Moravian Church. Elder Noah Okoviak will lead us in the first prayer. Please rise.
My name is Noah Okoviak from Napaskiak. This is not the first time I'm going to pray. I always pray for you every day. Okay. Ata butkilagamtsa ata nakhput Jesus. Khattati khumtsikitukutta khat namsakhtaluta nuttansuma avditthamattagum nannaramkinna qoyaavitsutnillu aulukutunik. Salillukutta kaigatasputta tungaani tangkhalka salillu mahavditkhala. Elputagum pisqutin piungami salillu. Gingida pifknaki nautluigmi itxugmi khallarin qasuglkhit nasunritaatn challeq kaitlu ulpnutunluki ata khaqqaasqluuki challeillu asilraakunna ulpitpukkit naatn challeillu khankuta gingunum challeittuat naulluk naatn asilraakun challeillu nausugmi itxugmi sutamaakut kaigaqu alaqaput khassulit naulrit lit naaris taitu challeillerit suullaarluki pisqluuki Amen.
Amen. Elder Noah, thank you very much. And now we have Dr. John Zimmerman of the chapel by the Lake Presbyterian Church.
In deepest respect for the religious beliefs of all Alaskans, I invite you into a time of prayer and reflection. Let us pray. Eternal God, on this 25th day of this session of the legislature, I am grateful for the principles that have made America a great nation, that all are created equal, that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are inalienable rights, that government is with the consent of the governed. I am grateful that every Alaskan has a representative in this House, that no one is left out of the circle of protection, care, and support in this state. Grant this day that the hearings, the committee meetings, the caucuses, and the work of this body may serve the people well. May good bills be perfected into even better acts. May unintended consequences be minimized. When the work of this day has been completed, and all prepared to travel across this great state, may their planes, taxis, and ferries take them safely to their homes, their families, and their constituents. May they enjoy the rhythm of rest this weekend and be renewed for their work in the coming week. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Majority Leader, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask that those two most beautiful prayers be spread across the journal.
Hearing no objection, then, those prayers will be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk. Did you certify the journal for the previous legislative days?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 23rd and 24th legislative days in House and Senate Joint Journal Supplement Number 12.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the journal of the previous day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Hearing no objection, then, the journal as presented by the Chief Clerk will be certified. Brief these. Now let's come back to order. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker. I'm so pleased today to have four gentlemen with us from Neposkiak, Alaska. It's across the river and downriver from Bethel. Today we have with us in the Warren A. Taylor Gallery, you all heard Noah Okoviak's beautiful prayer. He's with us, and he's with the Neposkiak Utility, as is Carl Maxey with the Neposkiak Utility. Also with them are Earl Samuelson. He's with the Tribal Council, and Peter Williams is on the City Council, and he's also a advisory school board member. Please help me welcome them.
Very nice. Other guests for introduction, representing Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am poaching a little bit from the member from Beaver who sits behind me. But I am very happy today to join to welcome to the Capitol the father of one of my staffers. Don Waldo is sitting in the Paradovich Gallery behind me. Don is been a school was a school teacher in the state of Alaska for 25 years. 23 of them were spent in Delta Junction. He has lived in Alaska since he moved to Delta Junction with his family when he was 13 years old. He is now happily retired, and that may have something to do with his avid interest in hunting and fishing opportunities here in the state, which he is now spending a lot of time enjoying. So if you will, please help me welcome Don Waldo to the building.
Any other guests for introduction this morning? Delta Junction is a pretty good place to be from, so it's... No other guests for introduction this morning, and let's move on to messages from the governor, Madam Clerk.
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. Speaker.
Are there messages from the other body?
A message dated February 6th stating the Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill 151 Judiciary with the following amendment, Senate CS for House Bill 151 Judiciary Indemnity Clause in Public Contracts, and it's returned for consideration. There's no further messages from the other body.
That is. Did you get them all? Okay, without objection, we'll roll back up the calendar to guest introduction. Representative Jewell.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker.
Good morning.
Thank you for allowing me to roll back down to introduce some constituents who've come down from northwest Alaska. In the gallery behind me, I have several members. Paula Mills sits on the school board. She's a member from NOATAC. She's been on our school board for a long time. Seated next to her is Sandy Beaver, who's also on our school board. And Baby Doll House, Daisy, I call Daisy Baby Doll because that's how I know her. Seated next to her is Patty Ann Thomas from the community of Buckland. Just might add a side note here, Patty Ann's also the chief of police in the community of Buckland, and I know that nobody there would give her money guff. and nobody here better give her any guff. Seated next to her is Cheryl Edenshaw, who's a longtime director of the Alaska Technical Center, which this body has become intimately familiar with over the years. Next to her is Bobby Wells, who's a school board member from the community of Norvik. And seated next to Bobby is their guide, John Walsh. Thank you, and help me welcome to Juneau.
They're all blinded by the top of John Walsh's head. Other guests for introduction while we're here? All right, let's roll back down the calendar to communications, Madam Clerk.
From the Department Administration, Division of Retirement and Benefits, Division of Personnel, the Alaska Legislative Report results of the Retiree Return Program enacted by House Bill 161 in 2005. And from the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, public decisions issued by the committee, Volume 11. There are no further communications.
Are there any standing committee reports?
The Judiciary Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 28, Constitutional Amendment Production Tax Revenue Fund recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 28 Judiciary with a new title. Attaches three fiscal notes and 1-0 fiscal note recommending Dupas, Samuels, and Ramirez. No recommendation. Coghill, Dahlstrom, and Holmes. Amend Dugan. The report was signed by Representative Ramirez, Chair. House Joint Resolution 28 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 267, Wildlife Violator Compact, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 267, Resources, with the new title, attaches 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending Dupas, Seaton, Fairclough, Gatto, Johnson. No recommendation, Guttenberg and Edgman. Amend Kawasaki. The report was signed by Representatives Gatto and Johnson, co-chairs. House Bill 267 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 268, Motor Vehicle Arson on Public Land, attaches 3-0 fiscal notes, recommending Dupas, Ramirez, no recommendation, Dugan, Coghill, Dahlstrom, Samuels, and Min Holmes. The report was signed by Representative Ramirez, Chair. House Bill 268 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 273, Education Funding, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 273, Finance, with the new title, attaches two previous fiscal notes and one new fiscal note, recommending Dupas, Hawker, Jewell, Nelson, Meyer, and Chenault. Do not pass. Kelly. No recommendation. Crawford, Stoltz, and Thomas. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. House Bill 273 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 316, Prescription Database, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 316, LNC, with the same title, attaches two fiscal notes, recommending Dupas, Gardner, Book, Ramirez, and Olson. Do not pass. Ledoux. No recommendation. Newman. The report was signed by Representative Olson, Chair. House Bill 316 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 320, Search and Rescue Certification Workers' Comp, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 320, Labor and Commerce, with the new title, attaches a fiscal note, an indeterminate fiscal note, and a 0 fiscal note, recommending Dupas, Gardner, Book, Newman, Ramirez, and Olson. No recommendation, Ledoux. The report was signed by Representative Olson, Chair. House Bill 320 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 321, Salmon Product Development Tax Credit, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 321, Fish, with the same title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending Dupas, Guerra, Hawker, Nelson, Crawford, Stoltz, Thomas, and Chenault. No recommendation, Kelly and Meyer. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. House Bill 321 has no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 324, Low-Income Housing Homelessness, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 324, Hess, with the same title, attaches previous fiscal note and three previous 0 fiscal notes, recommending Dupas, Cisna, Seaton, and Wilson. No recommendation, Fairclough and Gardner. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair. House Bill 324 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any special committee reports?
And there are no special committee reports today.
Are there any resolutions or citations to be introduced?
Citation honoring Captain Jared Wandell by Representative Dahlstrom. Honoring Grace Christian Grizzlies, 2007 Boys Cross Country State Champions by Representative Meyer. In memoriam John Andy Anderson by Representative Meyer. House Joint Resolution 33 by Representative Pertula, supporting federal funding for veterans' health care and urging the United States Congress to ensure adequate funding for veterans' health care.
Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs and Finance.
There's no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Are there any bills for introduction?
sponsor substitute for House Bill 283 by Representatives Gardner and Lynn, Gatto and Dahlstrom, entitled an act designating the Alaska Highway and a portion of the Richardson Highway as the Purple Heart Trail.
Transportation and Finance.
House Bill 358 by Representative Guerra, entitled an act relating to continuing the public education of a homeless student to the purpose of certain laws as they relate to children, to the determination of cost of maintenance of certain children in foster care, and to the salaries and benefits of certain social workers employed by the state, and providing for an effective date.
The Yes, House Committee on Finance.
House Bill 359 by the House Judiciary Committee, entitled an act relating to probation and the offense of minor consuming or in possession or control of alcohol.
Judiciary and Finance.
House Bill 360 by Representative Ledoux, entitled an act relating to dialysis technicians.
Yes, Committee, Labor and Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 361 by Representative Crawford, entitled an act relating to requiring subcontractors without employees acting as independent contractors to secure payment for workers' compensation.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 362 by Representative Crawford, entitled an act repealing a prohibition against classified state employees participating in management of political parties.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 363 by Representative Guttenberg, entitled an act relating to naturopaths and to the practice of naturopathy, establishing an Alaska Naturopathic Council, amending the duties of the Board of Pharmacy relating to naturopathic practice, and providing for an effective date.
Yes, Committee on Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
House Bill 316, title an act relating to establishing a controlled substance prescription database, has received a fiscal note and will also be going to the Finance Committee. Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the first item of the day's agenda?
There's citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House to approve the citations on today's calendar.
Hearing no objection, then the citations on today's calendar are approved. Excuse me, is there any unfinished business? Representative Stoltz.
Sir, I bring up reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 260.
Reconsideration has been brought on House Bill 260. Madam Clerk, could you please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 260, State Affairs, entitled an act relating to a State Officers' Compensation Commission and establishing how legislators, the governor, the lieutenant governor, and executive department heads shall be compensated, providing for an effective date by repealing the effective dates of certain sections of Chapter 124 SLA 1986 and providing for an effective date. The bill's in third reading.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we return to second reading for the purpose of considering a specific amendment, Amendment Number 1, on member's desk.
Hearing no objection, then we're back in second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment. Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Speaker. I move Amendment Number 1 and wait for the objection.
There is an objection. Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The purpose of this amendment is to reflect my concerns in the debate and in committee in my discussions with the sponsor and other members that I think there is some excellent work proposed on creating a task force, and I look at, I think it has the ability to make the salary recommendations and do the analytical work at an analysis at arm's length from the legislature. But I think that there still should be a mechanism by where members of this body take accountability for actions that will directly benefit us. And it's, I think I've been approached by some folks that said, well, this isn't really changing. I view it as I'm just looking at a issue we're dealing with this year. We had a very excellent task force on education, which brought forth a proposal involved mostly legislators but citizens, but that same model can work, analyzing the information out in the public and it was similarly, it requested a bill to be introduced by, at the request of the task force, giving the validation of that process's work. In this case, my amendment would be introduced by the commission at the request of the rule, or excuse me, by the rules committee at the request of the task force. It's really a simple philosophical issue, but for me, very important to bring up and to address. I've always accepted accountability for things that affect me and that this body does, and I don't want to create a dynamic where that accountability is able to be transferred to one member of a committee on either side of our bicameral process, able to make that decision in the manner which something, the manner which decisions are sometimes made in this process. With that, I urge support of the amendment.
St. Dugan.
Thank you,
Speaker. I rise to oppose the amendment. I wanted to start by thanking the representative from District 16 for the intellectual stimulation of getting a 3.5-page amendment to my bill 3.5 minutes before the gavel came down, Mr. Speaker. And I think we all ought to thank him for the opportunity to do committee work on the floor of the House of Representatives that he had ample opportunity to do in the Finance Committee when the bill passed through the committee. To talk about the amendment itself, Mr. Speaker, as near as I'm able to tell in reading it, the member from District 16 represents it accurately. What it does is it takes a system that now requires the legislature to disapprove the findings of the commission and reverses it so that we would have to approve it. That puts us, in my experience, in a rare class of citizens who get to set their own salaries. Mr. Speaker, I worked a lot of different places before I came to this body, and in none of them did I get to set my own salary. I don't think that it's the normal course of events, and I don't think that the public expects us to do that for ourselves. Had I been able to constitutionally, I would have removed us even farther from that process. I was unable to. We will still have to approve any appropriation should there be a raise. On the other hand, there may not be a raise. We don't know what's going to happen here. The argument that we should accept accountability for this, I'm not sure exactly what to make of it. I think we accept accountability for this system when we set the system up. I don't think we know what the results are going to be. I don't think we should know what the results are going to be. And I don't think we should be the final arbiters of our own pay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate? Representative Samuels.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to support the amendment, and I voted for the bill yesterday. I'll probably vote for the bill even if the amendment fails again, but there are a couple of different mechanisms that we can get away from the political problem of voting yourself a pay raise or a pay cut or even discussing it. I had spoken with the minority leader a year or so ago on a couple different mechanisms that we can do. You can push the effective date out for 6 years or 8 years or 10 years. So you're not voting for your own pay raise, so you're actually talking about the institution. People that sit in these seats should make higher salary, less per diem, however you want to structure it, but you're not voting for yourself. You can vote in a two-tiered system where as people turn over in this body, and I've been here for 5 years and I'm better than halfway through. The new people are on a new tier and the old people, we're stuck with the old system, so you're not voting for yourself a pay raise. I am very interested in having people discuss it a little outside of the political arena. I agree with the sponsor of the main legislation that having the discussion insulated from the political environment around it and having come up with recommendations, whether it be comparison to other states, similar jobs, how much time do we spend on this job, can you really have another full-time job? Those types of things need to be discussed, I think, hopefully in a non-political environment. But there are ways that we can take those recommendations and still vote on them here in this body without having to go down the road of voting for your own pay raise, setting your own salary. So I'm going to support the amendment. To tell you the truth, it's completely my mistake. I thought that's the way that the bill was when I voted for it yesterday.
Other debate? Representative Cardullo?
It's good to hear both sides of this. The hard part is trying to do it on the fly here on the floor. And I really think that's not the right way to do it. It's a difficult issue. It's one that we grapple with. It's one that's going to be touchy no matter what happens. So while if I had a chance to spend more time with it, I might be won over, I can't support the amendment at this point. The majority leader's right. We've talked quite a bit about how to try to resolve this issue. But now at this point in this moment on the floor, I can't vote for an amendment without understanding exactly where we're going to wind up. So I'll look forward to seeing the bill go forward and trying to work this out. And in the future, if someone has a great idea, I think every member of my caucus would be more than willing to speak with them about their legislation before we're pushed into this kind of a time crunch. Thank you.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I voted against this bill and may again, regardless of what the amendment, how the amendment comes out, and but with respect to what the sponsor is trying to do here, I stand for the amendment, and I think that if we the danger of this bill or the improvement that the amendment makes is it takes a positive action by the legislature to take action on the recommendations of the task force or the commission. And what that is a significant improvement to the bill, because instead of being able to just get a one-off commission and then ignore it so it goes into effect automatically is I think the kind of a cowardly way to do it for the legislature. So I support the amendment. One thing that is a sign of great hope for me, though, is that that certain folks in the body are there's probably a prediction here that we'll have very few floor amendments when we try to get the budget through this year. I'm looking forward to that, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to bring a slightly different perspective to this amendment and maybe to the bill as well. And best I can recollect, the bill addresses more than just legislative pay. Should this actually go through the process and go forward. But my perspective is one of a rural legislator, and yes, focusing on the issue of compensation or pay for legislators is a very divisive issue. It's controversial. It's a lightning rod. A lot of people don't like to talk about it. And I'm going to guess from the very get-go that there's going to be a lot of opposition to any increase in a legislator's paycheck. But I'm here to tell you from a rural legislator's point of view that I have a home back in Dillingham where I'm paying $4.40 plus a gallon of heating oil, and I'm having to bring my family down, and the cost of living increasing every year and so forth. And I think taking another look, and again, focusing on one aspect of this bill, not the entirety of it, but the issue of legislative compensation, I think we need to take a look at it. And I would even go so far as to say that the issues we've had with the ethics and the wrongdoing and all that, you could argue, is tied to the issue of compensation for legislators. And as a second-year lawmaker, I'm discovering that to be a legislator really is a year-round obligation. I'm not saying it's a year-round duty. I'm not saying it's a full-time job every month of the year. But in terms of obligation, it definitely turns out to be year-round in nature. So I stand up in opposition to the amendment. I'm going to support the bill. And I would ask my colleagues to do the same.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we have an analogous situation that the legislature has gone forward with in per diem. And we established that the per diem would be channeled by outside so that we didn't have to vote every time there was a change in per diem. And I think that that made a lot of sense. And I think the commission and our ability to turn down that recommendation is ample, and so I'll be voting against the amendment.
Who else was all? Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll support the amendment because it doesn't really matter. If there is a line item in the budget that increases the pay of people on this floor, one of the 40 people on this floor will offer an amendment and force all of us to vote on it. It doesn't matter. It's obviously a political issue. So if it's done and stuffed into the operating budget, somebody's going to put an amendment out there and force us all to vote on it anyway. So it doesn't matter how we do it. We're all going to have to push one of the buttons on a pay raise if that occurs. So to me, it's kind of a moot point, and I think the commission is valuable to have that discussion and forward their recommendations. But I'll support the amendment. We're going to vote on it anyway.
Other debate? Representative Stoltz and wrap up.
Thank you, Speaker. I appreciate all the comments, particularly the last one from, excuse me, my throat's a little rough, from my colleague from Ketchikan, who really encapsulates what my concern is. We can't run from this issue. It's an appropriation issue. I appreciate the comments from my other colleagues that run from Homer and others that really have defined that this is really a pay raise attempt, and let's not do it through a back door. Let's do it right through the front door. I won't use the word open and transparent, but let's do it directly.
Okay, you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 1 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
14 yeas, 22 nays.
So the vote of 14 yeas and 22 nays, Amendment Number 1 has failed to pass the House. Brings us back to third reading. You ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 260 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
29 yeas, 7 nays.
So the vote of 29 yeas and 7 nays may substitute for House Bill 260 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on the passage of the committee substitute for House Bill 260 State Affairs be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, then the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Is there any other unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader? Representative Johansson? Without objection, we'll back up the calendar next to the guests. Representative Johansson.
Thank you. In the gallery behind me, Captain Mike Murray, Executive Vice President of the International Organization of Masters, Mates, and Pilots, is with us. Also, I apologize to the two Juno representatives, but I'm stealing an introduction from one of you two. I'm not sure where he lives. Scott McCauley, he's the captain of the MV LeConte, and also next to them is another Juneau resident, Don Kubley, his father, a former member of this body, and a lot of his family are constituents in Ketchikan, so please help me welcome them.
Representative Meyer, petties, please. Under introduction of guests, any other guests for introduction? I'm sorry, Representative Ledoux.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, in the Taylor Gallery, I'm going to do a little bit of poaching from both Anchorage and Wasilla. We have three folks here who are both all representing the Alaska Aeronautic Aerospace Development Corporation. There is the president and COO. There's Dale Nash. There is the chairman of the board of directors, Sharon Anderson, and there is the chief financial officer, Monica James. So please help me in welcoming the three from those districts.
Any other guests while we're here? Okay, let's quickly roll back down the calendar to unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the members go into the limbo file that we may consider the Senate changes to the committee substitute for House Bill 151, Judiciary.
Without objection, we are into the limbo file and pulling out House Bill 151. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you. The member from District 28 will briefly explain the changes made by the Senate.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For those of you who are really interested, on line page 1, line 13 and 14 of the bill, the other body's Judiciary Committee removed the words where there is joint liability. In discussion, it was determined that those are words for which attorneys would fight and kill for. The body made up mostly of attorneys decided it would be better to remove that from the legislation, which I agree with wholeheartedly. It does not change the substance or the intent of the legislation. And I would encourage the members to vote for concurrence.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. Where am I? I move and ask. I move that the House concur with the Senate changes to the committee substitute for House Bill 151 Judiciary, thus adopting the Senate committee substitute for the committee substitute for House Bill 151 Judiciary, and recommend the members vote yes.
Is there any debate? You ready for the question? The question is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 151? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the vote of 36 yeas and 0 nays, the House has concurred in the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 151. Mr. Charlier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from a call of the House at the following dates and times. Representative Dahlstrom from 6 p.m. Friday, February 8th, until morning plain time Monday, February 11th. Representative Harris from 11:30 a.m. today to evening plain time Sunday, February 10th. Representative Jewell from 7 a.m. Monday, February 11th to 7 p.m. the same day. Representative Ramos from 6 p.m. Saturday, February 9th to morning plain time Monday, February 11th.
Objection. Those members will be shown as excused and the dates and times indicated by the majority leader. Any other unfinished business? Committee announcements. Other announcements? Representative Ramos.
Judiciary at 1 o'clock, Mr. Speaker.
Under committee announcements, okay. Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under committee announcements still.
Okay.
We'll have a budget subcommittee meeting tonight at 5 o'clock.
Representative Gatto.
At 1, thank you.
Sorry, at 1. Representative Olson.
Speaker, Labor and Commerce at 3.
At 3. Anybody else? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to announce that tomorrow at 9 o'clock we are having a HESS meeting, and we will be debating the governor's bill with her transparency changes and also another bill. Basically, probably most of it will be debated on the CON.
Is transparency changes in the word, or what's the... any other committee announcements? Representative Roses?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. State Affairs tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
State Affairs at 11. Any other committee announcements? Any other announcements? Special orders? Mr. Newman?
Mr. Speaker, fast and hard.
Say it again?
Fast and hard.
Fast and hard, okay.
Fast and hard, celebrating 25 years of the world's longest, toughest snowmobile race ever, to soar Iron Dog, starts in Big Lake this weekend. Mr. Speaker, the Iron Dog first started in March of 1984. Now today's Tesoro Iron Dog is a course length of 1,971 miles, starts in Big Lake, my hometown, goes to Nome, and then on to Fairbanks. It's the world's longest snowmobile race. It's also recognized as the world's toughest snow machine race is because of the terrain that they have to go through. The Iron Dog does offer a non-competitive recreational class. For people who want to just go out for a nice ride, I hear it's a pretty good thing along the historical northern route of the Iditarod. But it's a world-class event that brings, you know, it's had impacts over 25 communities in Alaska. Nome is the pro-class racer's halfway point. And then from there, they go on to, the pro-class goes to Fairbanks, where they end up finishing under one of the most magnificent signs I've ever seen at one of the best destination points in Alaska. So come help me celebrate 25 years of the Tesoro Iron Dog and some of the many events that we hold in Big Lake. Around this event, at 10:30, we're going to have some guest speakers, which include Wasilla Mayor Diane Keller and Governor Palin. At 11 o'clock, the green flag will drop. The first teams will be out. We've got 40 teams. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come join the action.
The only question I have, do you have a bill in judiciary? Or any other special orders? Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The topic is in memoriams.
In memoriams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to do this today, but not long ago I sat down and had to write the date on something, and I noticed it was February 8th. And that's a year, the date that sneaks up on me every year. Every time I write it, each year when it comes around, it hits me with a pang. 18 years ago today, I lost my mother to cancer. I was 16 years old. She'd been fighting cancer for 8 years. So I want to take this opportunity to say that I miss her. And one of the sad things we do in this building is write in memoriams when we lose people in our district, and I've had to do a few of those in my office in the last few weeks. And when I do them, I think back, 18 years now, to when my mother died, and this body and the members who were here at the time did a lovely in memoriam for my mother. And at age 16, to get that, to realize that the legislature had taken notice and had gone to great lengths to commemorate her life, it meant an incredible amount to me. And her in memoriam hangs on the wall in my office now. So when you're working on these, I have personal experience with how much it means to the family. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gatto.
Speaker, permission to speak on the number six?
Number six.
Number six is the number of days until Valentine's Day. And today is the last day you'll have number six. Starting tomorrow, it'll be number five. And if you're smart and you don't like being in the doghouse, maybe it's an opportunity to take an action today before it becomes number one. Thank you.
I knew there was a reason why you wanted to be on the Finance Committee. Any other special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday, February 11th.
Objection on adjournment until Monday at 11 a.m.